He says this, just remember, my law is all about demand. Mm-hmm. My grace is all about supply. The law demands righteousness. Grace supplies righteousness as a gift. The law says, you shall not. Grace says, I will.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, Jeremy Pearsons and Joseph Prince bring a message on the abundance of grace available through Christ and the gift of righteousness available by grace. Now let's join Jeremy.
Hello, welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons. It's been my honor to be your host all this week. We are going to get right back into the Word of God today. Let's pray and we'll do that. Father, we worship you again today. We bring these broadcasts before you, Lord, and we are so thankful for the opportunity once again to come around your Word and to find out who you are from the pages of this living Word, your living Word to us and in us. I'm thanking you today, Lord. I am so thankful to you that you are so eager to reveal yourself. And we ask you today to give us again eyes that see Jesus and ears that hear his voice and hearts that understand who he is in us and who we are in him. We thank you and we praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, if you haven't been a part of these broadcasts yet this week, you need to go back to kcm.org and download those. They're absolutely free. Get caught up with us because we have been sitting at this table with Pastor Joseph Prince all the way from Singapore. Sir, thank you so much again for being on these broadcasts. This is a long time friend and partner of this ministry, Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I know my grandparents were in your country in 2005, I think, and you were a strong support to them in that meeting, and I know they've never forgotten.
I enjoyed having them.
And of course, they love you and they love your ministry and this unrelenting desire that you have that people see Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you too, sir, personally, that when I sit and I listen to your ministry, I quit looking at you. I hope you're okay with that. But I just look at Jesus.
Amen.
I just see him and I'm thankful. That's been a blessing.
That's what I desire above everything else, that people see Jesus, fall in love with him.
Absolutely.
It's not about Josephine or Jeremy Pearson. You know, it's not about us. It's about him.
Yes, it is. That must be why my son says he doesn't want to be a preacher like Daddy. You've heard me tell this on this broadcast before, but I asked my son, who's now 3, and he was 2 at the time, I said, Justice, you want to be a preacher like Daddy? And he said, no, Joseph Pence. And I guess he was having a hard time with his R's at that point, but he knows you, and even as a 2-year-old, just we have it on in the house. He's just soaking
precious.
It in. And your little one is not too young to be around the Word of God, to be around the anointed Word. Jesus began growing in the grace on his life from the very beginning, and our little ones should be doing the same thing.
That's right.
We closed yesterday's broadcast by talking about something that I know you're met with a lot when people... I don't think it's by anybody that's actually heard you preach.
Yeah.
I think it's by people who have heard from others something that you've said or something they thought you said. And I know that's something my grandfather, even over 47 years ago now, started preaching so strong on faith in God and faith in Jesus, faith in the Word. And people almost immediately started talking. Yeah. It was, well,
hyper-faith.
And then saying all this stuff, but you know what it did.
Yep.
Is it made people run out there and get these tapes.
Amen.
What is it I'm not supposed to be listening to? Which is kind of funny because that's what the law will do to somebody.
That's right.
You tell a little kid, don't go in the street, don't go in the street, don't go in the street. Well, what do they want to do? They won't go
that's
on the street.
Right. Yeah.
But the same thing has happened, I believe, to you in some cases in your ministry where people have heard something that they thought you said, and they say, well, he's just preaching a message that, you know, anybody can go out there and sin. And I've heard you say this too. Why don't you go ahead on this broadcast and just tell us where you stand on sin, sir?
I always say, I, Joseph Prince, and I'll rattle off my serial number, you know, my national ID in Singapore, and I'll say that I'm categorically against, vehemently against sin.
Yeah.
Okay? Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you want to pay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sin destroys.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. All right? I am for holiness. I think where I differ from some people is this, how to get there from here.
Yeah.
All right? They say it's by your efforts, all right? You do it hard enough, strong enough, disciplined enough. I say it's by grace.
Yeah.
Okay? But grace has become a cliche. I had a precious man of God in my country that asked me out one time for tea, and he wanted to know how our church grew so fast, you know, in such a short time. Mm-hmm. So I told him, it's the grace of God, you know? And he looked at me and says, yeah, it's the grace of God. What are you doing?
Right, right.
You know? He wants the formula, but the grace of God is no longer an answer for many people.
Yeah.
It's a cliche right. that you put at the front of a sentence or the end of a sentence.
But you really mean it.
Yeah. To me, it's my whole life.
Yeah.
It's my whole life. And I think that Jesus, grace is spelled J-E-S-U-S. It's yeah. Jesus. You know, the law was given by Moses, a servant, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Notice truth is there on the side of grace, but the law is true. But it's not law and truth. Mm-hmm. It's the law was given by Moses. And who is Moses? A servant. Who is Jesus? The Son. And we esteem the servant greater than the Son.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is the thing. But when it comes to holiness, we touched on this yesterday, how when Peter first knew Jesus, he knew him in the aspect of his holiness. Mm-hmm. And rightly so, Jesus is holy.
Sure.
And he's thrice holy. But His holiness is such that it's holiness without fanaticism, okay? It's conviction without intolerance. All right, he could move among the sinners. They could touch him and they could receive,
yeah.
All right? It wasn't this holier than thou. But the one aspect that the Lord wants us to know him more than anything else is his love.
Yeah.
And that will take an eternity for us to know. Because when Peter, all right, in the 2 weeks after his resurrection, Peter was fishing with John and all the rest, and Peter knew Jesus in his love now because he's been forgiven of yeah. denying Jesus with cursing and swearing. So we touch on that, and I want to go to further in Galatians chapter 4 mm-hmm. today. We look at Israel now. When Israel was a child, look at verse 1 of chapter 4, Galatians. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child. Now in the Greek, child here is the word nepios. The word son is huios. Huios is full sonship, mature sonship, where you inherit everything. But as long as he is a child, a nepios, an infant, he does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. Okay, though he's master of all, but he does not differ from a slave. Imagine you have a domestic helper at home who is a friend, mm-hmm. okay? But that friend is not your heir. Justice is.
Yeah.
But justice cannot fly your plane. He yeah. cannot drive your car. He cannot, you have a beautiful car, you know, it's horsepower, I mean, Lamborghini or whatever. But he cannot drive it.
I don't have that.
He doesn't have it. I'm just prophesying here.
Yeah, that's, right? I receive it. That's fine.
And the thing is this, but justice cannot do that, yeah. right? Because justice is still an infant.
Yeah.
But is he the heir of it? Yes. Yeah. So when Israel was an heir, the Bible says, all right, God put him under guardians, verse 2, guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father.
Wow.
So guardians and stewards is the law and the prophets, because the entire book of Galatians is talking about law and grace. So when Israel was a nepios, God put Israel under law, okay, the Ten Commandments. All right? Now, even so, when we were children, when he mentioned we here in particular in this passage here, he's talking about the Jews. He's identifying with his Jewish hearers. All right? When we were children, when we were nepios, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. The word elements here is stoikion, which is the ABCs, Greek word for ABCs, elementary. All right? Kindergarten. Okay. We were under the elements. The law is elementary.
Wow.
Okay? But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons.
Wow.
Now, the word adoption is not there. Literally, it is placement as sons. And the word sons here is no longer nepios, but huios, full mature sonship. Jesus brought full mature sonship. The moment you are born again, you are full mature son in terms of your position in Christ.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's why we can cry, all right, Abba, Father. which is daddy, literally daddy. And the thing is this, it's interesting when people say that grace is wonderful, grace is basic. You know, we need to know grace. Young converts, you know, need to know grace. But let's go into holiness, you know, as if holiness is the deeper stuff. But actually, the thing is this, when Israel was an infant, a baby, God gave them the law for 1,500 years because God wanted them to know, all right, by the law, no one can be made righteous. By the law is the knowledge of sin, not righteousness. When the fullness of time came, God sent His Son and brought grace. So which one is mature? All right? Grace gave us maturity, huios. Law made Israel an infant. You know, when Jessica was young, her friends would come over to my house, okay? And I would tell them, don't go to the kitchen. Don't play in the kitchen, all right? Don't touch the gas stove. Yeah. Don't play with the kitchen knives. All sorts of laws, okay? Yeah. Now, if you come to my house, okay, and I say to you, Jeremy, don't touch the kitchen knives, all right? Don't play with the gas stove, you know? I'll be insulting you, you know what I'm saying? So which is maturity? When Israel was an infant, God put them under law. We have it backwards.
Yeah. Wow. We have to identify. We know who our Father is.
Amen.
One of the things that I believe has been so strong and in a revelation, the way it comes through you is identifying who your mother is. And I know that sounds strange when you're just sitting there listening there and like, I know who my mom is, but scripturally, where on which side of this? Walk us through that, because it'll make much more sense coming out of you than it does even out of me.
It's from the same chapter, Galatians chapter 4. Let's go to verse right now. We are in Galatians 4. Let's drop down right now to verse 21. Tell me, the Apostle Paul says, tell me you who desire to be under the law. All right, he's talking to people who desire to be under the law. You who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Now, before I go to this, I must tell you this, all right? This is a powerful revelation that God just shook me with it, you know? If you look at verse 9, it mentions the law, the stoichion, the ABCs, as weak and beggarly in verse 9. The weak and beggarly elements, or ABCs. He calls it weak and beggarly. Do you know that word weak in the Greek is the same word for heal the sick? Jesus healed the sick. That's the word for weak.
Wow.
The word beggarly here is the same Greek word as there was a beggar named Bartimaeus. It means poverty. So what would the law do? It brings you to a place of sickness, all right, and poverty. Nothing wrong with the law.
Yeah.
All right, well, it'll keep you a slave.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with the law. The law is holy, but it cannot make you holy. The law is just, but cannot justify you. I thought I'd just put that in.
Yeah.
Okay, but look at what we talked about just now. Tell me who desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? It is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, which is Hagar. Hagar was from Egypt, all right? The other by a free woman, and we know that's Sarah, Abraham's wife. But he who was of the bondwoman of Hagar, which is Ishmael, he was born according to the flesh. Notice how God defines the flesh, self-effort. So Ishmael was born of Hagar when Abraham still had strength.
Yeah.
Okay? And he of the free woman, true promise, which means by the Spirit, all right? Abraham could not perform anymore, if I can put it that way. He cannot have that strength, and God came in.
Yeah.
And Isaac was born. So watch this, which things are symbolic. These two women, they are symbolic, all right? I didn't say it, the Bible says it. For these are the two covenants, the old and the new. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. The Ten Commandments is from Mount Sinai. The laws are from Mount Sinai. And Mount Sinai is Hagar, that slave girl. And it produces what? Bondage. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is a bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, who is the mother of us all. Mm-hmm. That's Sarah. Okay, so which are you, all right? Which, the viewers that are watching, I like to ask the question, are you my brother or are you a brother from another mother?
Yeah.
You know. So the thing is this, we have the same, just like Ishmael and Isaac, they have the same heavenly father, or it's the same father, Abraham.
Yeah.
So we have the same heavenly father, okay? But they have different mamas, okay? Ishmael's mother is Hagar, which is the law from Mount Sinai, which produces bondage. Mm-hmm. Isaac's mother is Sarah, which is grace. So the Bible tells us, it goes on to say, verse 28, let's drop down to verse 28. But we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise, but as he who was born according to the flesh, which is Ishmael, then persecuted him that was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. The child of law persecutes the child of grace. It's never the child of grace persecutes the child of law.
Yeah.
And what is God's verdict? What is God's diagnosis and God's recommendation? Verse 30, nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman. Who is the bondwoman? The law from Mount Sinai. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. It's a very serious question here on inheritance, the heir. Who will be the heir? Mm-hmm. Okay. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So the thing is this. Today, some of our biggest problems are coming from people or people who challenged, you know, who tried to assassinate your character and all that. It comes from people, persecution in other words, come from people who share the same heavenly father mm-hmm. as us, but not the same mother. They will fight for the law. Our mother is grace.
Yeah.
Okay? And just as it was in times past, all right, the devil is trying to always take grace away from faith. Abraham represents faith.
Yeah.
Twice the devil tried to take Sarah away from Abraham. One through Pharaoh, another time through Abimelech. It is always the devil attempting to take grace, Sarah, away from faith. Because he knows that when they are together,
yeah.
it's going to be explosive.
And when, you mentioned this to me before, when did Ishmael begin to persecute?
Yes, let's turn to that real quick. And Genesis 21, if you look at Genesis 21 in the scriptures, it tells us when this happened. When did Ishmael persecute his half-brother, Isaac? All right, Genesis 21, it tells us very clearly here in verse 8, the child grew, Isaac, and was weaned. He was weaned. Remember we said that he who defines righteousness as an act, a behavior, mm-hmm. is unskillful. He that is unskillful in the word of righteousness is a babe. In other words, he does not know the word righteousness. It means gift, not an action.
Yeah.
That person is a babe. But obviously the body of Christ right now is being weaned. They are not understanding righteousness.
Yeah.
And guess what's happening at the same time? Persecution. When did Ishmael persecute Isaac? When Isaac was weaned from milk.
Yeah.
So the body of Christ now is being weaned from milk. They understand righteousness. So the persecution is starting. And that's also the time that God says, cast out the bondwoman. And God spoke through Sarah's mouth. Jeremy, Sarah's mouth.
Yeah, I hear it. I hear it. Believe me, I hear it. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I know that this is setting you free as you're listening to this right now. And there's so much going on. I think probably what's happening inside is your brain is going, wait a second. You got to get out of that and let your heart grab a hold of what you're hearing right now, because it's truth and truth. Knowing this truth, isn't that what Jesus
yes,
said?
Yes.
What would happen to it? What would happen to you?
Yeah.
You'd be made free. Hmm. And that's what's happening, I believe, in the yes. hearts and the minds and the lives of people that have, praise the Lord, they're born again.
They're born again.
They're in church and they've
they
got...
They have the same heavenly father.
Absolutely.
Just not the same mother. You see, in essence, they're saying, what they're saying, Sarah can't do a good job in raising Isaac. Sarah, grace cannot do a good job. Let's bring Hagar back.
Wow.
Let's bring the law back. No, Sarah is well able to raise her Isaac.
So, you know, I'm not sitting and looking at the law every day. You know, I'm not reading it going, oh, I got to try to keep
That's
that.
Right.
But there's a I don't know if this is the way to say it, but the spirit of that
yes.
at work. What, how would you describe that? Because nobody's sitting there going, I got to keep these 10
right.
or those 600.
You're right. And people are not conscious they're under the law. One of the best ways to say it is like this. I think this really helped me. Ask the Lord how to define this so that people can put it, you know, into practice in a practical way on a daily basis. And he said this, just remember, my law is all about demand.
Mm-hmm.
My grace is all about supply. The law demands righteousness. Grace supplies righteousness as a
Glory
gift.
To God.
The law says, you shall not. Grace says, I will.
Yeah.
All right? So it's always demand. So if I wake up in the morning and I have so many things to do and I'm demand oriented, oh, you know, my wife demands this of me. My boss demands this of me. You know, my congregation demands this of me. You are demand minded. You'll be under stress. And mm-hmm. practically, even you understand law and grace, you are actually under law. But if you wake up and you say, wow, I got a big project ahead of me and I got to finish this, I got this meeting to do, I got that, you know, preaching assignment, I've got this thing. But if you're supply minded, God will supply everything.
Yeah.
And God will supply it. So okay, I'll just flow into it. Then you are under grace in a practical way.
So what we've got to do in our lives is set up indicators.
Right.
Gauges.
Yes.
The same way you would in a car. If you want to know what condition your car
Excellent.
Is in, you look at the gauge,
yes.
right? Well, you
like
want to know what condition you're in. Where's the rest
That's right.
level?
Very
Where's
good.
The joy yeah. level? Because right. when there's an absence, this is what I'm hearing you say, and you
yes,
tell me if I'm right,
yes.
but when there's an absence of rest,
right.
then I'm looking to myself, and I'm depending on me to get me from here to
you're
there.
You're demand-minded, and you're under stress.
Yeah.
You're looking to yourself. But if you look at someone, even though he's busy, look at Jesus. There's never I've never seen anyone as busy as Jesus, and yet he's never so restful.
Yeah.
Right, as you see him in the Gospels, in the midst of the multitude. He
yeah.
always has time. He always has time.
Yeah.
There's a rhythm of grace to everything he did.
The unforced rhythm of grace.
Grace. Yeah.
And you can tell when people hear this, that there's a lot of undoing
yeah.
that has to be done. You can tell the Apostle Paul had a hard time trying to get it out. You know, that's why I think that's why he had to say so many times, yet not I.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how do I explain this to you? I'm crucified, but I'm not. But
yeah,
I am,
yeah,
but I'm
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
You know, he had to say it. Yet not I. That's got to become the description of our lives.
Mm.
I'm alive, yet it's not me. It's Jesus in
yes.
me, and that's what he said too. He said the same thing when he said, "I labor more abundantly than they all."
Yet not I.
If he left it there,
the grace, yes,
this
right.
message
yeah.
is ruined. But he said, "I'm working hard, harder than anybody." But yet I'm not. Yet I am, but I'm not. Well, if it's not you, Paul, who is it? It's the grace.
The grace of God.
Which is to say, it's Jesus.
And what is so cool is this, Jeremy. You know, when he says, when Paul says, yet not I, but the grace of God that causes me to labor more abundantly. Think about how cool this is. The Lord gives you the grace to be a Bible teacher.
Mm.
The Lord gives you the grace to be a shepherd. All right? God gives you the grace to do whatever you need to do. God gives you the grace to do it. And when you do it, when you execute the grace that He gives you, He rewards you for doing the grace
yeah.
that He first gave you.
That He did.
Yeah. How cool is that?
It's great.
You know? No wonder it's worthy is the Lamb. We receive the crowns.
Yeah.
We know where to place it.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's all Him.
It is.
Yeah.
I want that to resound as we close this broadcast today. Identify in your life, and you can do it in a hurry. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in you will help you. Jesus, what have I been doing under my own strength that I need to turn over to you right now? And when you do it, He is your caretaker. He'll take it, and you can be free of it. We're out of time on this broadcast, but don't go anywhere. I'll be back in just a moment.
What you believe to be true can and will impact the way you live your life. Wrong thoughts produce wrong actions. Right believing produces right living. How do we know what is right to believe? We discover that in God's Word, and the Power of Right Believing package can help. With Pastor Joseph Prince's latest book, The Power of Right Believing, you'll learn 7 practical yet powerful ways to finding freedom. When you know you're loved and forgiven, you have confidence to live whole and complete. Your identity can be anchored in Christ, causing you to live stress-free in His rest.
The Bible says the Holy Spirit transforms us as we behold, not as we strive. As we behold, He transforms us from glory to glory.
Kenneth Copeland helps you discover the truly compelling power of God's mercy, as well as the depths of His love and compassion in this book, Mercy, The Divine Rescue of the Human Race. Be transformed in your belief system by the power of His love. Believe right and live free. Order the Power of Right Believing package for only $24 and save over 20%. Joseph Prince's book, The Power of Right Believing, and Kenneth Copeland's book, Mercy, will help you discover the compelling power of God's love and mercy for you. Be free from every addiction and fear and begin living a life in His peace and joy today. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. For an additional 10% off, order your package online.
Pastor Joseph Prince mentioned on this broadcast earlier this week that righteousness, the righteousness of God, is a gift. It's a gift from God to you through Jesus. And that's what makes it His grace towards you. And you need to receive that gift if you never have. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you need to do that right now, because in that, when you receive that gift, you are free from sin. You are free from shame and condemnation. And I want you to get free today. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, then just pray this prayer with me. Say, God in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. He is your Son. I believe He lived for me. I believe He died for me. I believe He rose again for me. And I thank you, Lord, for filling me with your Holy Spirit. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Take my life and do something with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer with me for the first time, then you need to know all of heaven is rejoicing with you, throwing a party for you because you came home, and everyone at Kenneth Copeland Ministries rejoices with you. And we have a free salvation package that we want to send to you. This is a book called He Did It All For You by my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And we're going to send you two brochures on how to study your Bible, how to get into reading the Bible and find out what the Bible says about you, what it says about God and who you are in Him. These things will just help you get on your way. Learn to see you the way God sees you. He sees you through the eyes of Jesus. So request your free salvation package today. Go to kcm.org. We'll send it to you. Now, the word of the Lord that came to Brother Copeland about 2014 is that this is the year of our victory over death and the year of God's manifested love. The more you grow in the love of God, the more you will see how much He loves you, and then your faith will begin to grow. Amen. Faith works when you know how much you're loved. So thank you so much for joining me on this broadcast today. Pastor Joseph Prince and I'll be back again tomorrow. We're going to be learning more about the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus and how to reign in life through Him. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you once again that God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Learn who you are in Christ and how to begin your new life in victory. Request your free salvation package today at kcm.org. Jesus did it all for you. Receive His love and experience the good life God has for you. For additional teaching and free information on salvation, go to kcm.org. Continue to grow in God's Word with this week's Believer's Voice of Victory, available at kcm.org for purchase, streaming, or download. Let God's grace abound toward you and live in the blessing. Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. The 2014 Branson Victory Campaign, February 27th to March 1st, with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. The 2014 Southwest Believers Convention, June 30th through July 5th, with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests in Fort Worth, Texas. The 2014 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign, November 13th through 15th, with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. Tomorrow on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
I think that we got to change the way we preach. We got to preach from Mount Zion, not from Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
From the New Covenant, not from the Old Covenant. Mm-hmm.